Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
What's up, everybody? That's right, we are looking live at Eddie George's on High Street here in glorious Columbus, Ohio, getting ready for the Browns Orange and Brown scrimmage tonight at the Shoe. 70,000 members of the Dog Pound will be in attendance. Doors open at 4:30, so get there early. That would be my advice to you. Get there early. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble now joins us. Gribbs, you talk about this scrimmage at the Shoe. What are you looking forward to seeing the most?
Well, you know, I think the obvious, easy answer is we're going to see a little bit of Johnny Manziel with the first-team offense. You know, he's been working exclusively with the second team, but it's going to be good to just see him kind of work with some of the top offensive talent on this roster and see how comfortable he can be with them. Obviously, Coach Pettine has kind of said that, you know, Josh McCown is firmly the starter and not to read too much into it, so we'll be doing that. But another big thing about this, and this kind of maybe flew under the radar yesterday, but I think this is going to be the first whole practice scrimmage type event where we see full-on tackling. We've only seen a little bit. Only seen a little bit of it so far. You know, it seems like certain players maybe get treated differently on the field, get tackled a little bit more than maybe some of your starters. But this, we're promised kind of full-on tackling, and I think that'll give us a better idea, maybe not necessarily of the success of the passing offense, but of what the run offense is doing, and maybe necessarily the run defense. Because I think that we've seen a lot of the guys in the secondary in position to make tackles, but are they really going to make those tackles and get those guys down in the backfield?
Absolutely, and I think a question that I asked in the roundtable maybe even yesterday, and I just want to reiterate it, because my stance is that this opportunity in this setting, it's going to feel different than practice has been in Berea. Going up to Rochester is going to be way different than practicing in Berea because you're going against someone else. And then the four preseason games. But do you believe that Ray Farmer, from a personnel standpoint, that Mike Pettine and his assistant coaches are going to be grading this practice and looking at this just a little bit a peg higher than they do practices in Berea?
I think so, and I base that almost exclusively off what Brian Hartline said yesterday. I mean, he said they're kind of approaching this like it is a game, and it was interesting to be there at the Shoe this morning at 10 o'clock, a very kind of business-like walkthrough that was going on this morning. Not much goofing around. It looked like they were preparing for kind of a preseason, regular season type of game. It really, you know, being in the Shoe this morning, it's just so big and empty. It was just kind of a nice change of pace from being out on the same practice field every day. I think the players have really kind of embraced this, and I think they're excited to know the fact that, you know, there's going to be 60,000-70,000 people around the stadium really having a good time. And these are going to be different kind of Browns fans that maybe don't get to see them every week, and I think that that's not going to be lost on them, and I do think that's going to add the pressure to it. You know, The Browns training camp provides a good environment of 2,000 or 3,000 people that kind of are going to reward you for good plays and cheer and kind of groan when you make a mistake. But it's going to be a lot different with that many people, 60,000. So big plays are going to get big ovations, and mistakes are going to get amplified with kind of those groans out there.
They definitely will. I think Danny Shelton has up to this point lived up to the bill, as big as he is, as disruptive as he is, you know, there in the middle, garnering that double team in most cases. But for you, besides Danny Shelton on the defense side of the ball, what two other players that you're going to have your eye on the defense side of the ball?
I think one right away is Nate Orchard, because you lose Barkevious Mingo to this knee injury that it's going to keep him out for, you would think, around a month or so. That's enough time where you're going to need to see Nate Orchard ready to go for that season opener. So he's going to get a lot more looks in the defensive backfield. And I think, too, with the potential injury with Pierre Desir, I think this ups the pressure for Justin Gilbert as a second-year player to kind of maybe step into a role that maybe they weren't counting on if Pierre's injury is serious enough to keep him out of a couple games. So this is a bigger opportunity for Justin Gilbert to show that he is making kind of that second-year progress on the defense. But there's just been so many little injuries that have kind of piled up and now kind of held out some guys that would really like to be out there. But also there's going to be more opportunities for a player like Gilbert for Nate Orchard. I think Nate Orchard was going to be counted on this year, but really that's kind of been amplified over the past couple of days.
Certainly has been. Talking with Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble, of course. Before we continue this interview, Matt, I got a tweet that I need to share with you.
Please do.
From at SteinMetz2. He says, "Welcome to Columbus. Tell Matt hashtag hi for my OSU nurse wife, hashtag OSU women nurses love Wilhelm, hashtag go Bucks, hashtag go Browns."
Nothing new, bro.
Nothing new.
They still love the kid.
Guess what? He's got a fever. Nathan Cigar, Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, live at Eddie George's place. Getting packed right
it
now.
Is.
Browns fans
this
all
is
over
orange
the
and brown.
A lot of orange and brown here. The top dog, Hanford Dixon, is here. I saw him as I made my way out to fix my parking meter and return here. Seamless, though, because it's radio, not television.
It was.
Anyway.
It can't be like
and
this
I got
every
your back,
Friday.
Jack.
Like,
no, it can't.
It can't be like this at Friday.
No, this is the excitement of the orange and brown scrimmage, bringing it to Columbus. People are fired up. I'm fired up. 70,000 at the shoe later. Gribbs, who's somebody that, let's say, they haven't really been paying attention to training camp. They're just getting tuned in. They're fired up about the scrimmage. They're getting in now. Who's somebody that the majority of people haven't heard of that they're going to know after today's scrimmage is a guy that, hey, this guy has a chance to kind of throw all the plans into chaos and make this 53-man
well,
roster?
You know, I won't go with one. I'm going to go with three. And it's just these unheralded wide receivers that just keep making plays in training camp. I know it's with the second-team offense, but you've got to think when you keep seeing guys make plays over and over again that it's going to take notice. And I think those three guys, particularly the last couple of days, Darius Jennings, the wide receiver.
Number 10.
Yeah, he's been very good. Josh Lenz has been Mr. Consistency from start to finish throughout from over the past week or so. And then Cleveland native Shane Wynn has got some kind of chemistry with Johnny Manziel out there. We've seen them connect on long double move passes. Manziel hit him with a strike in the back of the end zone yesterday during a red zone
drill. They're almost eye to eye in the huddle.
He's the
smallest
guy on the team. He makes Taylor Gabriel look like Calvin Johnson out there. But you know, it's really they've been impressive, and I think that this might be the Terrell Pryor effect in that wide receiver room. Everyone is racing their game up because they know there are so many guys in there that are fighting for essentially one roster spot. And that includes a guy like Travis Benjamin, who's had a great camp through the first week. So those are some guys on offense. I think on defense, a defensive back that's played well is Kendall James.
Uh-huh.
The coaches have been very high on him since he joined the team during the offseason. He's a defensive back. And defensive line, Dylan Wynn. I think he's number 97. He has the Mohawk. He's just kind of a kind of fits all those play like a Brown mentalities that the coaches like. He's also been playing a little bit of fullback on offense as that crossover role. He did that at his pro day because he thought that might be the best way he can get in the NFL. But they like him as a defensive lineman. I think he's one of those people you look at that's maybe fighting for that last spot in the defensive line room.
So we're talking about the 70,000 people that are going to be here are going to be predominantly Browns fans or, you know, Buckeye fans who want to see football right now at this point in the season, which they can't anywhere else. And you talked about the groans and excitement of plays being made or missing out on plays being made out in this scrimmage as we see each and every day out in Berea. But do you expect this to be kind of like an elementary type of performance with the defense solidifying a lot of that that elementary portion of their defense, solidifying the run game, very vanilla blitzes to give our offense an opportunity to do the very same. To see John DeFilippo's offense actually in a similar or a familiar situation, which it's operating as if it were a game.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a possibility because I look back to that Friday practice where the offense had this amazing performance. I remember Nathan said that it's the best he's ever seen a quarterback perform at a Browns practice in the last couple of years. And then the next day, the defense came out with, like, every sort of look possible for kind of redemption. So I don't think it'll be, like, on that level. I think the defense is going to play kind of basic. You don't want to – again, this is a good scrimmage. You want to play hard, but you don't want to get anyone hurt in this kind of atmosphere as well. So I think you're not going to make it too difficult on this offense, especially when you got Johnny Manziel working with the ones for the first time. You want it – I think they're going to keep a guy basic, but you still want to be competitive because I think there's a lot of pride on the line in front of these fans. You don't just want to have those offensive fireworks. You still want to have some defense make plays as well. So I think it'll be balanced.
And I wonder this, and Matt, you probably can shed some light on this. Yes, every practice is open. Teams, if they wanted to, could send people to sit in the crowd, and you could have done that at the Family Day scrimmage last year. The fact that this is going to be on television on the NFL Network, does that mean we're going to see vanilla with a side of vanilla? I mean, you don't want to show.
I hope not.
You don't want to show anything. Why are you going to show? Why would you show anything on TV?
Right. No. And that's exactly what was in my head, and potentially my next question. So for the fact that you posed it knows that we're on that same wavelength,
like,
which is
ESP,
great.
Man.
But if we see vanilla, it's going to be very difficult to get excited about this football team. You know, running the football, booting off of it, having it look the same way it's always looked. We've been selling them on what we see at practice throughout OTAs and mini camps, the shifts, the motions, putting particular players in unique situations to go out and win. you know, our defense and our defensive backs particularly being, you know, locked down with, you know, three out of the four being Pro Bowlers, and we have a former Pro Bowler now opposite Joe Haden in Tremont Williams. So I want to see execution. And that, you shouldn't take from this the vanilla by the offense or vanilla by the defense with not wanting to share anything, but I want to see them execute their offense. And I think there's a, as I always do, I put a percentage on it. I think we can dig for offensively into 40% of our playbook and be very comfortable executing that and doing it very well at this point through camp. And I think the defense, simply because this is their second year, we might get into they're going to be in that 50% range and dabble into 60 with maybe an exotic look just to see it in a more game tempo live situation, which is unique, which they have not done through training camp.
Or do you maybe pull out one or two fun plays for the fans that you have no hopes of ever running in an actual game?
As we mentioned, we talked about the you know, the prior touchdown. You know, I wouldn't. Who's the next guy in line that can throw that?
Gabriel?
You run that play again.
Maybe Gabriel.
Or Maley or somebody.
Yeah. See, those things, I'd put a lot of those weird things out there. Make people think about them.
Sure.
Oh,
Flippo's way out there in his thinking.
You're saying that Terrell Pryor pass was not just for fun. It was making people think about what this guy can do?
All of the above. All right, Gribbs, what are you going to be doing? It sounds like a pretty neat interactive opportunity for Gribbs Nation to get involved with you during the Orange and Brown scrimmage.
You know, we'll be doing this probably throughout the season, but we're testing it out tonight. We're going to have the live blog like we always have going during training camp, but instead of just us feeding our tweets into that, you know, I'll be able to interact and type out a little bit more because I'll be in the press box. I'll be able to see a lot more of the field and kind of give, like, more of an accurate description of what is happening on the field, because when you're at the practice field, it's hard to kind of keep tweeting and you don't end up watching it. But when you're in the press box, you're in a situation where you're able to write a little bit more and still see what's going on.
So you'll be able to interact with people, answer questions?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll interact as much as possible, and you guys can, and usually when people are watching on TV, from my experience when I was covering college football, they end up seeing more than I would see in the press box. So that it helps me when people are telling me what they're seeing on the TV when I'm kind of getting that all-22 look up in the press box.
And I think you'll have time, too, because this is not a game. This is still a practice, just happens to be, you know, like a scrimmage. So there's no play clock. You know, the play clock will be in Josh McCown's head to get in and out of that huddle, get everybody lined up, execute that shift in motion, and boom, get the playoff. So you're going to have more than enough time, you know, for that interaction, because there's still going to be coaching going on in between plays, just as if we're in Berea, because otherwise then you're not really using your time on the field to your advantage as you do a preseason game where the coaches are strictly, you know, treating it as if it's a Sunday in September.
Yeah, you know, we'll be seeing a little bit of, I think, a lot of 11 on 11, maybe more so than we might see at a normal training camp practice, but also some 7 on 7, which can be just as fun to watch, even though it's not the real thing out there.
That's right. Andrew Gribble, follow him on Twitter, at @Andrews_Gribble, and you can interact with him throughout the Orange and Brown scrimmage tonight at ClevelandBrowns.com and on your Browns mobile app. When we come back, we're going to hear from Johnny Manziel's roommate, and also a guy who probably should have been a Pro Bowler in his rookie season, guard Joel Bitonio, address the media this week during practice. We'll hear what he had to say when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from Eddie George's here in Columbus as we get ready for the Orange and Brown scrimmage that is just about 5 hours and 44 minutes away, taking place at the Shoe. Not even that, I'm sorry. 3 hours and 44 minutes. I got too excited. 6 o'clock, doors open in about 2 hours. So get ready, get fired up, come to Eddie George's. Get that food, get that drink, and get yourself ready for what should be a very fun day with the Cleveland Browns here in Columbus. Joel Bitonio up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.